This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I thought it was only fitting that I start the month out by sharing some of the latest research that is taking place around breast cancer, some of the imaging and so forth, and then also the new healing therapies that are actually changing the way that we are looking at breast cancer in the treatment of it. Mindfulness is one of those new therapies, and its purpose is to basically change the way the mind sees things, transforms the way it thinks, and then also to redirect its focus from a distorted self-perception and then releasing those negative emotions. So what we can do is we can actually find ourselves in a healthful state of mind so we can have a healthful state of body. And then I find that that's such an integral part of the healing paradigm that we're in right now and the way that we're looking at illnesses and specifically breast cancer. And because what I've found as a medical intuitive is that those self-distorted perceptions and the negative emotions that lead to negative attitudes that literally are the underlying cause of, I'm going to say 99%, I would say 100%, but that might be arrogant of me. So 99% of all of the chronic illnesses and the illnesses that we experience, including aches and pains in the physical body. So I'm going to be talking about mindfulness, and I'm also going to be talking about the importance of thermography, because this is one of the most effective way that we're finding that we can actually watch the cellular activity in areas of the body to find out what that activity is and if there's any representation of a formation of cells that could create a tumor. And then that can also be sucking kind of that lifeline, that glucose from the surrounding cells and basically feeding itself so a tumor can grow. So some real exciting ways that we're beginning to look at things. Now, I understand that if you've been diagnosed with breast cancer, it's not exciting at all. There's no way around that. I mean, those dreadful words, you've got breast cancer, just completely instantaneously, change the quality of your life. And it really pulls you back into the past, and it causes that tremendous uncertainty of the future. But what I'm hoping to do in the show today is to be able to share with you how far we've actually come in the way that we look at breast cancer and treat it. And in fact, right now, with early detection of breast cancer, the five-year survival rate is 98%. That is tremendous from where we were just even 5-7 years ago. So really great strides in really looking at it from a holistic perspective and how that's changing the entire dynamics. Not necessarily, well, the dynamics, of course, in the diagnosing because of some of the new imaging we have, but then also some of the therapies that really have a lot of impact in creating that psycho-spiritual healing. In addition to talking about the mindfulness as a means of working with breast cancer, I am going to be taking your calls. Excuse me. So if you have a question for me about your health or you have a question for me in general, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. International callers as well, 877-230-3062. All you have to do, of course, is dial your international calling code. And I really look forward to sharing my medical intuitive skills. I love the research. I love all of the suggestions that you as my listeners are sending me. I love the research around the topics that you want me to cover in the show. But one of the things that I truly, truly, truly love is I love sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. I also wanted to let you know that I just posted my new reading schedule and dates that are available in the month of November. So if you've been thinking about having a reading with me, well, this is a perfect time to schedule because the announcement tomorrow goes out to my whole database letting people know that I've posted the new schedule. And what happens is I'm very blessed that the readings tend to book very quickly. So if you want to know what reading dates are available and learn more about the readings and what they entail and the type of information that I can bring forward, just go to my website and visit it, www.ritberger.com. One of the things that we're really learning about breast cancer is that it's as much of a psychological illness as it is a physical illness, and that the treatment of breast cancer in particular really needs to look at the entire holistic perspective of healing. That means that we need to address the needs of the body. We also need to be able to help the mind move from those patterns of habitual thinking and from those distorted self-perceptions. And then also, we have to create a model in this healing process of breast cancer in which we can actually incorporate the heart. And I always associate the heart with the soul. So in this treatment, we've got to really look at healing the body, the mind, and the soul. What we're doing is we're really gaining a deeper understanding of how important it really is for a strong healing network of friends and family, and then also to spend other time with women who are going through the same thing, who are sharing the same common fears, and who are kind of trying to wrap their head around the ramifications of what this diagnosis going to have in their lives, but even more importantly, in this group support, whether it's with family, friends, or women who are going through it, what it is it's that desire, it's that compassion, it's that cheerleading energy that's associated with the desire to be able to heal on all the levels. We're also learning that the importance of building a community of people who really care goes a long way in not only treating breast cancer, but we're finding that it goes a long way in removing a lot of the psychological contributors behind breast cancer that I so often see when I'm doing my medical intuitive work. In fact, as a medical intuitive, I seek to really gain that holistic perspective of illness, meaning that I'm not really looking at just what's happening in the physical body. I want to really gain insight beyond that physical level, and I want to look at that psycho-spiritual component of why we become ill, meaning the emotional contributors, that's the psycho part of it, and then how is this impacting the energy field, because in my world as a medical intuitive, all illness starts as a disharmony and a discordance in the energy body. And that energy body in the way that we're designed is to be able to create harmony back into the energy body that can then create harmony back into the chemistry of the body and harmony in the way that the organs and glands communicate with each other. If we allow this discordance or this disharmony to continue in the energy body due to our thinking or those beliefs that we have or those habits that we hold on to very tightly because they are familiar, and while they're not necessarily healthy, they work for us. So what we're doing is when we look at those different aspects of the psycho-spiritual aspect of it, we've really got to go in order to kind of take that energy congestion away, that disharmony away, we really need to get to the source of what created that disharmony, and that source is literally thoughts and emotion. And so what I found is that when I'm really talking about curing and healing in so many of my different radio shows or in my different talks that I do, curing is whether we restore the body back to where it was before it became ill. And in healing, what we're wanting to do is restore the body back to a better state, a healthier state than it was before it became ill, and that really requires healing on all levels. I've also found that when it comes to healing, just focus on the body really doesn't give us that degree of ability of healing that we're really capable of. It just basically takes care of the needs of the physical body. What I have found in the reoccurrences of illnesses, and particularly breast cancer, that what we really need to do to be sure that we don't have reoccurrences and that we in fact address all levels of what is the contributors behind breast cancer is we've really got to get behind and dig deeper and getting into that human psyche, digging deeper, and then finding out what those psychological contributors are, and then being able to come up with treatments, thought processes, mindfulness, to be able to change those thoughts and redirect our focus from illness to healing. I found as a medical intuitive some of the hidden contributors around the development of breast cancer is, of course, emotional distress. Also, stress plays a major role in it. I found that there are three specific personality behavioral patterns. This is tied to my work in personality behavioral psychology. These three behavioral patterns are: there's a perceived lack of closeness with parents and especially mother. There's chronic feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, like you can't seem to move things forward, causing you to think that in many cases you're a victim of circumstances. And then the most important I have found in the behavioral patterns of personality is there's a tendency to suppress the emotions that we're feeling. It's easier for us, honestly, and especially as women, to sweep those emotions under the rug and thinking that what we're going to do is we're going to be able to avoid the conflict that may come from expressing those emotions. And what those emotions do is they build upon themselves. They basically energetically fester. And kind of like the body works with an infection, when we get one internally, the body actually uses itself to be able, and the immune system, to be able to move that infection to the surface of the skin so we can deal with it. The soul does the exact same thing when we get emotions that build up and start to fester inside that basically are going to somehow harm our self-perception, undermine our self-esteem, and create this chaotic energetic state in the physical body that I find is the roots of breast cancer. Also, I found that there's low self-worth and self-esteem. This is directly related to how they, as a woman, we see our relationships. As women in our conditioning, we basically have been conditioned to really measure our success or our failure based on the quality of our relationships. And those relationships can be with family, it can be with friends, it can be with coworkers. It really doesn't make any difference as far as the relationship itself, but it's how we see ourselves in the role in those relationships. And if we see ourselves as failing and not being able to do what we're designed to do in our conditioning, is to put other people's needs in front of our own, then what we do is that we basically start to starve ourselves. And in that metaphor of starvation of the emotional part of our well-being, meaning positive emotions, positive outlook on life, and so forth, then we create the perfect environment for the cells to be able to mutate, find community, as they do in the case of a tumor and breast cancer, and then feed upon themselves. I also find that there's a fear of abandonment. A person struggles with grief, and grief is really the culmination of secret sorrows that we as women hold deeply in our psyche and then as a result in our energy body and even more impactful in the physical body. We tend to be worriers. I call them the worry warts. The women who tend to have a higher predisposition for breast cancer tends to be those worry warts. Also, the fear of unknown and uncertainty, which is certainly something that happens when you hear those four dreaded words, you have breast cancer, everything in the future. We don't even know what it looks like. We're not sure whether there's going to be one. And so that is actually a self-fulfilling fear that basically comes in and feeds on itself. So the best thing we can do there is get as much information as we can from the doctor and then also from the internet. But more importantly, go to the different internet sites that are written by women for women who are suffering from breast cancer, being diagnosed with it, or who have gone through the treatment and have their success stories. That's one of the best usages of the internet as far as creating that support environment and finding that community with women who are dealing with the same thing. Then they can share their information, and it does take away that fear of the unknown and the uncertainty. I find that there's very definitive associated emotions with breast cancer: helplessness, hopelessness, resentment, guilt, sadness, disappointment, and suppressed anger. And I find that there's a direct connection between depression and breast cancer. I've also found in the years that I've been doing this work as a medical intuitive, that there are actually different psychological contributors between the right breast and the left breast. For the right breast, this includes, in those psychological contributors, a strong sense of obligation to carry the emotional burdens for other people and to make their life emotionally easier. This obligation is driven by guilt and worry, and it really reflects that suppressed anger that we hold inside when our soul is saying, what about you? What what about you? And our mind keeps saying, well, I'll work with you or I'll do something for you after I get through doing everything for everybody else. And what we do is the buildup in that anger is that it's because of the demands that other people are having over our lives that are really leaving no time for ourselves. The left breast isn't really associated with other people and their demands. Instead, it's our own self-perceptions and the demands that we place upon ourselves. Perfectionism, while it can be seen as a wonderful quality in being organized and getting things done, if you expect perfectionism from yourself all of the time, you basically starve yourself from connecting with your deeper inner self, and as a result, all you are is driven by the thoughts of perfection. There are, of the two different primary self-perception in the left breast that's associated with breast cancer, is I find consistently that the woman believes that she's not good enough, and no matter how much she does, it's never enough. So the word enough is very, very important. If you have been diagnosed with any kind of abnormality in the left breast or the presence of a tumor in the left breast, then what it is it's basically saying to you that there's never enough. So as a result, you're filling this area with those perceptions that are not healthy. When we keep seeing ourselves as not doing enough, not being enough, not having enough, then what we do is it results in low self-esteem. So really, where does mindfulness really fit in all of this? Well, to begin, mindfulness is a cognitive therapy that seeks to change the way we think and the way that we see our situations, experiences, and relationship. By changing those perceptions, what we do is we actually change the mind in a way that it releases those thoughts, making room for new thoughts to be created, and as a result, it releases the emotional charges that we have buried deep down inside of that human psyche that's associated with those habitual thoughts. In doing so, then we create thoughts in a healthy, constructive, and healing way. Mindfulness accomplishes this by highlighting, honestly, negative thoughts. And what I mean by that, it seems kind of counterintuitive to do that, but what it does is in that state, it basically allows the quiet space for those thoughts to come forward. So you can really see what your pattern of negative thinking is, and it brings attention to how we appraise our situations. Do we awfulize? Do we look for the good? Do we see every situation as an opportunity to learn, or do we see it as just one darn thing after another? And then what mindfulness does is that once we become aware of those patterns, then we're able to reframe those patterns in a positive way, meaning that we create the mental environment where the mind literally is present in the moment. It's present around the sounds that you're experiencing, what you're feeling in your body, how you're emotionally feeling, how you're where your mind is going and everything, and then what that present moment does is it causes us to get out of that worrying state about the past or creating the anxiety that's associated with the uncertainty in the future. So what I'm going to do is in the next segment of the show is I'm going to be talking more about mindfulness and the benefits. But I just wanted to start the show out by letting you know some of the psychological contributors I found, and then how can we use mindfulness to address those factors in order to shift the thoughts, release the emotion, create a new perception, a healthy perception of ourselves, creating that inner support of our own healing abilities, and then allowing those healing abilities to be able to help us heal in breast cancer. What I want to do right now is I want to jump in because I do want to take your calls. So let's go to Megan from Los Angeles. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question about Megan's thyroid that is a little bit off. It's lower, sluggish, and she presents the symptoms pretty strongly. She's very young. She's just 19. But she's complaining of the body imbalance and some substantial gain weight. What okay. do you suggest? We have an appointment to see a doctor next
perfect.
Week, but I need to speak with you.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Well, congratulations for seeing a doctor because the doctor will read some blood work. What you want is you want a normal blood panel run. so we can get an overall baseline of where she is. The blood is a wonderful indicator of any imbalances that are going on. You also want to ask for a thyroid test to see where her thyroid is. My sense is that she's low in the low cycle. My sense is that it's due to stress. I am picking up some clinical depression, meaning I've got some chemistry imbalances in her. But I really believe that the depression, sweetie, is tied more to the imbalances in the hormones itself. And I can go in. I've got estrogen fighting progesterone. I've got testosterone trying to kick her in the bottom to get her going, to give her the energy. But it feels like it's creating almost an anxiety deep down inside of her. I've got a thyroid that's sluggish. So what you might also do is ask the doctor if that they would please run a blood panel to check where her estrogen progesterone is, even at 19 years old. It feels like she has always struggled with the stability between estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And those three different hormones can dynamically change the neurotransmitters, the physiology of the body, and can create the depression. My sense is that it's the thyroid depression combining of that chemical imbalance between serotonin and dopamine that is also creating that desire for her body to go into protection and to gain weight. So I think that your call, the first thing to do is with the doctor. The other thing that you can do between now and the doctor is that you can modify her diet very, very simply, very quickly, by eliminating simple carbohydrates, looking at eliminating as much glucose as possible or gluten as possible, and then eliminating sugar completely. And I know that at 19, that's kind of like a bad news to have someone to, you know, for me to have to share with someone. But I think that in the course of that time, you will be able to start to see some differences in her activity level, in her thinking, in her desire to engage, back into situations. And then you can start to see that even as you're going to be working with it from a medical perspective, that we can do it from a nutritional perspective as well.
I am inclining to give her a thyroid assist natural supplement that will balance the hormone levels. Do you suggest that beneficial?
Well, I do, but not right now, very honestly. And the reason for that is that I think doing that, and it's certainly something I would do after the doctor's visit, but it would be important for me in having a very clear reading on where that thyroid is. And is it, in fact, on the low side of the scale, or, in fact, is it something that is needing to have assistance? And if you can get that clear baseline reading, then when you go in and you use those thyroid supplementations that you're looking at doing, and it feels like there's more than one, then what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to recognize how much. Do we start with a very little? Should you start with one? What does that look like from dietary and so forth? So I think it's a great idea. My suggestion would just be wait until after you get the blood work done.
And is this will this condition correct itself? Do you see her body going back to normal body weight and hormone levels?
Yes and no. So excuse me for the riddles. Yes, I believe that as she develops deeper into her cycling and really get some stability back into the cycling itself around the estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, I believe that's going to help. But I am picking up that there's a genetic predisposition for thyroiditis, or hypothyroidism in particular, in your family. Probably great-grandmother, feels like your mother maybe even did, feels like it's bypassed you to some extent, but I am picking up a genetic predisposition. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to happen, but it's something to share for you to be mindful from the standpoint that you can start to watch for the symptomology associated with it and then jump on it like a dog on a bone.
Okay.
And the other thing is she's very intense. And if there's things that you can do to help her to cope with a lot of the stress that she does, I pick up a lot of perfectionism around her. And if you can find mindful ways to be able to help her with that yoga, relaxation, There's some wonderful mindful work. It's called Nowhere to Go, Nothing to Do. That is literally a mantra that we breathe in. Nowhere to go. We exhale, nothing to do. It creates a very quiet state, not only psychologically, but also in the chemistry of the body. So there's things that she can do that would be able to help her as well. I do have to ask a question, sweetie. Is she showing behavior of obsessive but compulsive behavior?
I'll have to be more careful. I just started noticing some of that.
Okay.
But the emotional stress that you indicated is due to our parents. We are separating, so I'm pretty certain that affects her as well.
Well, it does, sweetie. But again, the best thing that you can do in helping her in that is maintain your stability, maintain that steadfastness that you've done for her your whole life. Be, you know, even in the chaos that you're in, look at the things that are important for your well-being, her well-being, that stability in the house, that ability that you have to listen to her with that real active, compassionate ear where you really hear what she's having to say. That can tell you some of the telltale signs. The reason I'd ask about obsessive compulsive is that that feels like it's part of the dynamics of what's going on that I'm picking up that possibly is tied to this depression that I'm picking up. So it's something that if offline you can talk to the doctor, not in front of her because we don't want to add to her issues, and it's not talking about her, but if you can talk to the doctor about some of the behavioral changes that you've seen, that can help the doctor be more effective in choosing the test to run as far as looking at blood work, and then also offering some things that you can look at from the standpoint of being able to help her. The other thing is that you might want to look at some homeopathic remedies. That would be very, very helpful. It feels like she could tolerate Sammy very well in her body. So you want to do a little research. This is an opportunity for you to step into the next phase of yourself being a healer as well.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you am. How's that for not being grammatically correct? But yes, you am, sweetie. Anyway, thank you so much, honey.
Thank you. A pleasure
talking to you. All right, what I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back, talk a little bit about mindfulness. I've got a couple of other callers on the line. Please stay on the line. I'm going to be right back and stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
and welcome back. It's such a pleasure to spend my Wednesday morning with you. The topic of today's show is mindfulness as an effective technique for healing breast cancer. In addition to talking to mindfulness, and I'm going to be sharing some of the benefits of it in this segment of the show, I'm also going to be answering your questions about health. I actually have time to take a couple more calls, so if you do have a question for me, call me at 877-230-3062. Again, that number is good, U.S. callers, Canadian callers, and international callers. I actually, in the month of part of August and September, to celebrate the launch of my online personality assessment and my new personality site, I presented a challenge to my Facebook followers to tell them what they like most about their personality. One of the winners of that challenge was Sarah Edwards, who won a free three-month, easy for me to say, subscription to Gaiam TV. However, Sarah, sweetie, I haven't been able to connect with you to gather the information I need in order for you to be able to get your gift. So if you're listening to the show, please go to my Facebook page, Dr. Carol Reitberger, as there's an active message waiting for you to be able to connect with me and send me the information that I need, or you can contact me directly through my contact page on my website, www.ritberger.com. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you because I would love for you to be able to take advantage of this three-month subscription that Gaiam TV was so kind in being able to allow me to offer to my Facebook people and then also to my Twitter followers. I also wanted to let you know that if you're interested in learning more about breast cancer from my perspective as a medical intuitive, I actually offer a free audio download of a teleclass that I did on breast cancer, and then also for a nominal fee, $5.95, there's a 39-page PDF on breast cancer. Again, these are available on my website, www.ritberger.com. Just put the cursor over teleclass and then click on downloads, and then there you will be. One of the things that I've found is that the demands of life as humans were really not even present most of the time, honestly, in our own lives. We often fail to notice the good things about our lives, and we tend to dwell and build on the bad things about our lives. As a result, we really fail to hear what our bodies are telling us. We're easily distracted. We're habitually examining our past events. We're struggling with the emotions that are buried inside. And then we're trying to anticipate and really plan the future in a way that we really don't have a full kind of representation of what that future can hold for us. As a result, I found as a medical intuitive, is we tend to poison ourselves with toxic self-criticism. Perfection is one of those. Mindfulness is a spiritual and psychological technique that really is considered of great importance when it comes to the path of enlightenment, according to the teachings of Buddha. What mindfulness does is it creates a mental state of heightened awareness of our bodily functions, the emotions, and the thoughts that we're experiencing at that moment. And while we're in this state of heightened awareness, we're able to actually gain the clarity that we need in order to be able to see the changes that are necessary for us to move our body, our mind, and the energy of the body in a healing way. And what it does is it basically allows us to create that healing union between mind, body, and soul. The word mindfulness originates in the Pali terms sati, which is derived from the root meaning to remember. But it's as much of a mental factor that signifies the presence of mind, the attentiveness to the present moment. And then what that does is it creates an absence of confusion. Simply stated, mindfulness is a form of meditation, but it's more of a mindful breathing meditation, as well as breathing, using breath to be able to bring in deep breath, to be able to find those emotions, those habitual thoughts that are toxic around self-criticism, and then using breath also to be able to release those thoughts. And in that process, there's a cleansing and purification that happens. Now, really, when I looked at the mindfulness as a cognitive therapy, really what it is, as with all meditation, is it's really not going to eliminate the pressures of life. But what it's going to do is it's going to go a long way in changing how we respond to the pressures of life by helping us see more clearly of what is actually happening in that present moment. The energy right now in the field of consciousness and individual and group consciousness is all about clarity. It's about allowing a situation, experience, or the dynamics of a relationship to surface to be able to bring forward the emotion that's deep down inside of us, to be able to look at that emotion in a non-threatening, kind of a release way, so then we can see clearly what we need to do to change that thought, that emotion, from a negative to a positive, or from habitual to creating a new pattern of thinking that is healthy and allowing us to be able to move forward freely the way that we really are designed to do. This human body is absolutely exquisitely designed to always be repairing itself, restoring itself, rejuvenating itself, and always is in a state of healing. If we can be present in the moment, we can connect with that constant state and continual state of healing to the point where we can allow the body, mind, and soul to form this union in a way that we can heal. And we can heal breast cancer, and we can heal all of the contributors that basically are the hidden ones behind the reoccurrences that many times may happen. Not all the time, fortunately, but many times may happen, especially when we're dealing with breast cancer. So what I'd like to do right now is I want to jump in and I want to take line two, Debbie from Utah. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, thank you for your message as always.
Well, you are welcome. How can I help you?
Well, I just wanted to say that I noticed the energy of dismissal in my family recently through that mindfulness, and that's a big energy habit in my family. But my question really was about mental health and about personality disorders. And can you see personality disorders in people, like multiple personalities, I mean?
I can.
Okay, because the bottom line is I'm dotting my I's again. My personality is, I want to just make sure, could I possibly have a personality that would assault someone or hit someone and me not know about it? Do I have a personality that would come out and leave that fast?
No, you do not.
Okay. I just kept thinking, could I have done this and not known it, you know? And so I just wanted to make sure, because I've had some head injuries in the past, and I know that I can pass out and not know what I'm doing, but I didn't know if I had another personality that might have attacked someone, because they insist that I did, but I didn't lose any, in other words, I don't lose time. I don't lose time and not know where I am for 2 days.
Correct.
And so then I thought, well, maybe I could have something that would come out really quickly and go back or something.
Well, actually, that is real, that you do have something that quickly comes up that can change your behavior. But it is not a multiple personality. It is not some other distortion in your thinking that basically is bringing forward a sense of paranoia or a sense of schizophrenia. That could be associated with multiple personality disorder.
Okay, explain that to me, because I will.
So what you do have is you have a part of you, sweetie, that basically in this dismissal, and I'm going to take it kind of way on a woo-woo side.
Right.
There's a past life remembrance with this person of where you were attacked with this person and you defended yourself.
Okay.
I would encourage you, if you are open to it, to find somebody that does hypnotherapy, that does past life regression. Let them know what your intent is in wanting to go through this and being able to bring forward an awareness. Because I do pick up what happens is that there's this deep fear around survival in you, that when you get put in a place, and it's not dismissal, that can be the trigger. But when you get into that place where you feel like you're being dismissed or feel like you're being threatened, there is a deep, strong emotional reaction within you that is going to lash out.
Now, I think this is happening with the other person. I do have a past life with this other person. I've been told
Yes, you do. And in this particular case with the other person, just using you as a surrogate, this person does not also have a multiple personality disorder. My sense is that it's the culmination of the trauma that you've experienced and the emotions all the way from very, very early on in your childhood that creates this part of you that basically feels like it's just screaming to be heard and it wants to lash out in order to be heard. Are you working with a psychologist or a psychotherapist, sweetie?
Well, no. I think that, see, and the thing is I'm empathic, and so sometimes, a lot of times, people get me, I carry the energy of other people, and so.
Yes, you do, and you carry it emotionally.
Yeah.
That's very true, sweet. You connect with people at that emotional level. That's your ultra sensitivity. The reason that I had asked about working with someone is that it might be something that in the future you would like to consider, not because it's multiple personality, but there is a lot of sense of trauma that I'm picking up, emotional trauma within you, mm-hmm. that if you could find a effective tool, maybe it could be mindfulness that could help with that, guided imagery. Bella Ruth has some wonderful work on guided imagery with different traumas that are, these are deep. These go from past lives, and they also go from things that occurred very, very early in the childhood.
Yeah, because I was attacked, and I passed
yes.
out. So, but I
yes.
just, I don't remember hitting her. I don't remember ever hitting her.
Right. Well,
I insist I did, but I don't remember hitting her.
Yes. So what you can do is there's a phenomenal technique called EMDR that basically finds yourself someone, if you decide to go this route, that is trained in EMDR and that can help you be able to find and create a safe place for you to be able to go in and look at all of this kind of energetic minutiae around this process of feeling vulnerable and feeling like you've been attacked and feeling the past life and the different things. There's another process called brain spotting that could be of great value. And the only reason I'm really suggesting that, sweetie, is so you can move beyond the questioning based on the input that you've been given that something is psychologically really wrong with you.
Yeah.
If we can diffuse that, then you will stop questioning this over and over again or patterns and thoughts associated with it. You can look at it in a healthy way, release that emotional trauma that's associated with it, and you can embrace that empathic part of who you are in a very, very different way.
Yeah, because I didn't think I ever had any intent. It never would have occurred
no.
to me to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so that's why I'm wondering. I'm kind of confused because I didn't think I had the intent to hit anyone, and that's why I thought, well, do I have a part of me that would have done that, and I didn't even know about it? So,
well, there is it, and you know, let's move beyond kind of the psychological implications of multiple personalities. All
right.
of us have within us, when we get in such a fearful state, the chemistry of the brain goes so deeply into survival that we basically don't lose consciousness, but we lose kind of that control we have over our emotions and our desire to be able to find a resolve without being in such a defensive posture. We find this over and over again with people in that tend to what we refer to as snap. It isn't snapping. It's a chemical overload in the brain that causes the brain to be in such a severe state of survival that the body, the mind, will do whatever is needed in order to survive. Post-traumatic stress disorder is certainly part of this process.
Well, did this happen to her? Because I had bruises all over me for proof that I was the one that was being beaten on, and she can't remember hitting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely, she hit you. And absolutely, you hit her and defended yourself.
Yeah,
she was the aggressor in the situation. She pushed you to the brink where it pushed your buttons that chemically it just overpowered.
All right. Well,
but,
okay.
But it
well,
is
I do
not.
Have trauma and some past life stuff that I need to resolve.
Yes. Yes, please. And again, real good regressionist could help you with that and then would be able to find some tools that you could use with that. And then what it would do is it would allow you to step back, look at the agreement that you have with this person, and then be able to come to some resolve in that agreement to where you can stop that questioning around whether you are psychologically a multiple personality. I would know if you are. And how I know that is that in the case of multiple personalities, there is a paranoia that feeds that is constantly there. You don't have that. You're still very trusting. You're still very open. You're still wanting to engage in relationships. You are not going into that hermit energy that we associate with it. So you don't have the real psychological guidelines or the parameters that would be associated with multiple personalities.
Oh, okay. Really. That's clear there. When you said paranoia, because I know she has paranoia, and I thought at first you were telling me I had paranoia in the beginning.
No.
But, okay, so just look at the trauma aspect of it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you so much.
And when I mentioned the multiple personality and I mentioned this part of this paranoia and schizophrenia, those are two direct behaviors that we see in a multiple personality situation. The personalities are contending for their own survival within one human being. And that's not what I have with you, sweetie.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome.
And I will re-listen. I will listen to this so that I can get those therapies that you suggested off of it, because I don't remember them, but I'll listen to it again when it's available.
That's okay. It'll be posted the end of the week, sweetie, on my website, www.ritberger.com, in the archives, and you can listen to it. All right, let's jump in. Light and love to you, my love. All right, what I want to do is I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call, but what I really want to do is I want to share some of the benefits of mindfulness, and especially, again, because I'm talking about breast cancer, so I'm going to relate it to that, is the benefit of mindfulness is that it shifts the self-perceptions. It helps us recognize and slow down and actually become aware and stop those habitual reactions that we have to situations that are occurring in our life. As a result, we get to see those situations more clearly. Mindfulness activates our creativity and it stimulates our imagination in a very healthy way that allows that imagination to see ourselves in that healthiness. It helps us achieve balance and resilience both in our work that we do and at work, and then also how we interact with the people at home. It alleviates anxiety, stress, emotional distress, and also is a very, very effective tool in dealing with depression. It calms the immune system and its reaction to stress and the emotional distress. It actually is a very powerful tool to be able to heal chronic illnesses and gastrointestinal disorders too, in particular. It's very powerful in helping us manage pain. And what it does is it creates a psychological supportive environment within ourselves using our own inner healer as part of our healing team in order for us to be able to see ourselves differently, especially and specifically in working with breast cancer. So those are some of the things that are the real benefits of mindfulness. If you would like to learn more, there's some tremendous websites that have information on mindfulness. The University of San Diego has some mindfulness training that you can do, and some different meditations and so forth. So lots of information. This is one of the very helpful, useful ways that the internet can work for us. Learn more about it. There's wonderful books on mindfulness and being able to use it to heal past trauma. And so, again, lots of information that's available on the web. What I would like to do is I want to jump in, and I'm going to, Christine, sweetie, line 3.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome. I have a few minutes, sweetie, and I don't want to cut you short, so let's just jump in, and how can I help you?
Well, I just experienced a miscarriage, and I was just curious. You know, I met with my doctor, and he said that, you know, it was early, like 8 weeks, so oftentimes it's genetics, or I had bleeding, so it could have been the placenta. And I was just wondering, you know, is there anything I did, you think, or,
No. No, there isn't, sweetie.
Okay,
I mean, you know, if we look at stress and the impact of stress and so forth, I have found consistently that I am seeing more miscarriages. from that. But one of the things that I also find so often with the miscarriages is that when this child does come into form and stays with you, this soul will be ready to be in body. I really have found, honey, that a lot of the miscarriages in the readings that I've done are souls that have not been in form for maybe multiple lifetimes. And as a result, part of that soul planning process is that the soul needs to go back in and remember, what is it like to be trapped in, and honestly, that's a clear word when it first starts looking at it. What does it feel like to be trapped in a body? And it kind of is like a test run. It's kind of like a beta testing. And what the soul does is, with the agreement with the mother, is the soul says, listen, I want to come in. I want to become a part of you. I want to feel you. I want to get to know you. I want to touch that deep essence of who you are. I want to try that body on. I want to see what it's like to get a mind where we have two brains that don't want to see things the same way. And I want to prepare myself in a very healthy way to be able to do the work when I come onto this earth. And one of the things that I found consistently in the work that I've been doing, especially in the last 6 months around miscarriages, is the same soul that came in that basically said, okay, this is enough. I've had enough of the body. I'm prepared for it. I need to go back into light, gather a little bit more information, comes back in, and then again, the eggs divide. This soul embodies itself, is the same soul that was the one that you lost.
Really?
And you really didn't lose it. It just wanted to use you. I say it with great love, but kind of like a cab ride to get an idea of what this is. And then we'll come back to you. You will know this to be truth because there will be a familiarity with this soul. There will be a like, oh, I know you. There will be a kindred connection. There will be a calmness about you. Even though with miscarriage there's anxiety, you will just know, hello, this is the same soul, and this soul, this time, we're going to go the full ride, and this time, I'm going to be able to be to you the eyes and ears that you came in this world to really experience. And so that truly, sweetie, is something that I feel very, very deeply about what is going on with you, with this soul. It just basically said, are you willing to be my cab ride so I can see what it's like, and I'm going to come back, and this soul will come back.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. One of the things, my love, is that it would be of benefit for you to go in, and you can use mindfulness if you want to or other meditations. I would like you to see your womb as being a very healthy, sacred space for this child, this egg, to be able to attach and to form and to create the placenta that is rich with nutrients, that is rich with everything that this child needs, and to form that image from the standpoint that when that egg moves and it becomes divided by the sperm itself, that you will have that perfect environment for that soul to be able to go full term.
Okay. I will.
That will be very, very helpful for you. I do have some lingering emotional remnants about the fact that the placenta somehow was not maybe as formed or as healthy as it needed to. That could have been part of the process. I do believe that's true. But I would like you to not hear those final words and then to have that create the anxiety that will do it. So it is truth, what the doctor said. So be it. Then let's go in and create something different.
Okay. Amen. Thank you.
You are so welcome, hon. A pleasure. All right. I have a few more minutes, so let's jump in. And I want to share an exercise with you that, again, this is going to be on the recording itself and how to use mindfulness to basically prime your mind for healing. Imagine what your life would be in the days and the weeks and the months ahead if you focused more about what you want to do to heal yourself. Visualize yourself positive, hopeful, and heal the breast cancer. Envision something tangible you can do every moment that will accelerate the healing process, such as making time for your own self-care, setting aside time to relax, visiting with friends and family and the people that are important to you, doing something you love, visualize yourself without sugar, eating healthier foods, and getting more rest. Then the most important, think about what you're grateful for every moment that you find yourself awfulizing and focusing on the negative. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Always such a pleasure to be on the air with you and to pick up your energy. Light and love to all of you. Have a great week, and I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.